Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contracts. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
The New World Report with Professor Evan Ellis, U.S. Army War College Strategic Studies Institute, to Tegucigalpa, the capital of Honduras. Reuters, Honduran President Xiomara Castro will travel to China soon, is the quote, according to the Honduran Foreign Ministry. The announcement came, writes Reuters, days after China established diplomatic ties with Honduras as the Central American country ended its decades-long relationship with Taiwan. Professor, a very good evening to you. This is a major significant turn in Central American affairs. It connects to other states, but we begin with Honduras. Xiomara Castro was elected, I believe, last year. She is connected to politically elite families in Honduras. Honduras is one of the three Northern Triangle states that were identified early in the Biden administration as trouble along the border because of the large cavalcades of migrants seeking a residence in the U.S., said to be from three states. Now, I never challenged that. I'm just repeating. The Vice President Harris made a visit to the Northern Triangle. I believe she went to Guatemala City. And since then, I've not focused on migration out of the Northern Triangle because there's so many other places they're coming. We're going to mention the Darien Gap. This change from Taipei, Taiwan to Beijing, China, is it significant in Central America? Noting that Tsai Ing-wen, the president of Taiwan, is making stops in the U.S. and Central America soon enough. Good evening to you.
Good evening to you, John. It certainly is significant, although I would say it's not decisive. As you also point out, it shows the relationship between the very difficult socioeconomic conditions that often we don't pay attention to in Washington in these countries, and the way it impacts not only our domestic policy imperatives, but also the foreign policy of the region with which we're closely connected. So as you pointed out, part of the background with Honduras as well as Guatemala and El Salvador has been the combination of gang violence, groups like Marisol Trucha and Barrio 18, corruption, the movement of drugs through the region, et cetera, all of which created very severe stresses. And as part of those very severe stresses, you had a politics in the region that alternated between traditional parties until you had the election of was the Libre movement, formerly headed by former President Mel Zelaya, now his wife, Xiomara Castro. Taking the region in and taking Honduras in a much more left-leaning direction, although, in recent visits, the U.S. has tried to kind of minimize those policy divergences. But the key here with respect to China is, as you pointed out, Honduras was one of three countries in the Central America that continued to recognize Taiwan. It was one of 13 countries, actually before Honduras has changed, 14 countries in the hemisphere that continued to recognize Taiwan as opposed to the PRC. Now, Xiomara Castro had said as a candidate to the elections that she would change over if to the PRC if elected. Apparently, she was dissuaded from that at least temporarily for a while, and so now a little more than a year into her presidency, she finally took the plunge. Announced in a somewhat chaotic way a little over a week ago that she was negotiating with the PRC for relations, and so finally, Foreign Minister Eduardo Reyna indicated that yes, we're formally changing relations. So Taiwan severed relations. Honduras has officially recognized the PRC. And so what tends to happen, because there's a pattern in these things. We saw it with Costa Rica in 2007. We saw it with Panama in 2017. We saw it with El Salvador and the Dominican Republic in 2018, that after what are typically secret negotiations, and then there's an official announcement. And then the question is, what are the goodies? What are the commitments that the state who is flipping then Iran gets from the PRC. And so the actual promises are not clear yet. But typically, shortly after a change, you get the presidential delegation, usually not only the leadership, but accompanied by politically well-connected agricultural and other business people going over to the PRC. And so apparently that will be happening in the coming weeks. And so then the question that will become apparent is what, at least initially, will Xiomara Castro and Honduras get from the PRC? It's likely that there may be some indications of deals for China buying an amount of Honduras's traditional agricultural exports, although historically that usually doesn't make a whole lot of difference. It's likely that we'll see things that will open up Honduras for infrastructure projects. We know that in the past, the PRC company Sinohydro built a relatively large dam in Honduras, Pitucha 3, and is looking to build another large dam, about a $300 million dam, Pitucha 2, as well as various other projects. It may be that China provides some debt relief. There probably will be talk about setting up a Confucius Institute for the selling, for the establishment of official language training in Honduras, et cetera, et cetera. But overall, it also it represents a loss for Taiwan. It moves Taiwan closer to running out of diplomatic allies, which could be destabilizing in Asia. It also emphasizes the fact that although we have emphasized points of commonality, that Honduras is taking actions that may be different than what we think is not only good for Honduras, but what we'd like to see in the hemisphere, especially U.S. Presidential envoy Christopher Dodd apparently went down there to try to persuade Honduras to rethink this. At the end of the day, was unsuccessful, and Dodd was forced to say that we respect Honduras's decision for what they're going to go. But it illustrates how with some of these new governments that arise out of these socially difficult conditions, that they may take the region in foreign policy directions that make us uncomfortable. Here, with the opening of the door to more Chinese economic influence and in other types of engagement with the PRC.
President Tsai Ing-wen visiting New York has an itinerary that's significant for Central America. On her way to Los Angeles, it is said she's stopping in Guatemala City to acknowledge that Guatemala, part of the Northern Triangle, remains devoted to Taipei, and I believe Belize does too in Central America. Guatemala was where the vice president called, some 2 years ago. Is Guatemala City regarded as loyal, working with the U.S.? How it seems to be thought of differently than El Salvador and Honduras.
It's a great question, John. Among the three Northern Triangle states, Guatemala is currently the one of the three that has a relatively conservative leadership, and indeed that reflects the fact that in Guatemala those conservative elites have held on to power, whereas you've had more political change in Honduras, and of course you have the populist experiment in El Salvador with Nayib Bukele. But the regime of Alejandro Giamatti in Guatemala has actually been relatively criticized by the administration with respect to its Attorney General Consuelo Porras and evidence that there's a lot of basically protection of elites involved with criminality and possibly some sheltering of criminal groups. And so the irony is that the U.S. administration has been bringing a lot of pressure against perhaps our one conservative friend currently in the Northern Triangle over corruption and narcotize. But the other element, as you pointed out, is that this was probably done deliberately in terms of the timing by the PRC. And it was probably that given the geography, Tsai Ing-wen, as she does from time to time, was going to travel to Honduras and Belize and Guatemala. And of course, Honduras is now off the table. She's going basically to try to shore up those relationships and show a little bit of love and try to understand better what those remaining Taiwan allies may need or want and what Taiwan can do to basically keep them in the Taiwan camp. But as you also pointed out, it appears that she'll be making stops in transit both to Central America and also from Central America, where she may meet also with Speaker Michael McCarthy. And it's interesting to see the level of increased assertiveness and aggression on behalf of the PRC, who has basically warned the U.S. Speaker of the House that there will be serious consequences if if the elected U.S. Speaker of the House on our own territory meets with Tsai Ing-wen. So to me, that illustrates the point of confidence and aggressiveness that the PRC is getting with us in terms of the meddling in, you know, our own political choices.
One more state in the Northern Triangle when we come back, El Salvador, where there's big trouble. Professor Evan Ellis, U.S. Army War College Strategic Studies Institute. I'm John Battle.